Welcome to The Big Day, the ultimate life coaching resource for all eight areas of your life. Here's your host, Robert W. Whipple.
Good morning, DFW Metroplex. Good morning, America. We're speaking this Saturday morning from the beautiful KLIF studios in Victory Plaza. My name is Robert Whipple, entrepreneur. I have the privilege of working with Southern Painting, one of the most successful painting companies in America. I'm also the author of the best-selling book, The Big Day, and I am your host of The Big Day. And so what we do is we talk about topics that are relevant to you today. And today, do we have a great show for you? Of course, my co-host is Cool Whip, my wife, Nurse Nancy. Good morning to you, Nurse Nancy.
Good morning.
And then, of course, our other host, which has actually been a host for the last several weeks, Heather Lester, our creative director of The Big Day. And good morning, Heather.
Good morning.
So I have a question I want to ask you. I'm just going to just start off with a question. And, I mean, both of you can answer however how you want to do it. But do you know that that there is a real God? Yes. You know there is a real devil. Mm-hmm. But here's the question. Do you know what the devil's three goals for your life is? One, two, and three?
I'm going to guess.
Okay, go ahead.
Steal, kill, and destroy.
Kill, steal, and destroy. So what he does, he doesn't come in and say, good morning, I'm here to kill, steal, and destroy your life today. He comes in and puts a big L on your heart, which stands for loser. He wants to come in and intimidate you, beat you up. He wants to make you feel like a loser. He wants to go after you in every way he can. And the way he does that is through two different areas. One is spiritual, and the other is what? Natural. So you have the natural and the spiritual working together. That's what we're going to be talking about today. And so what he wants to do is come in and take you captive through the natural, and Satan can work in the natural just as much as he can, and also the spiritual. So once again, he comes in, he wants to make a big L on your heart, stands for loser. And once you know you're a loser, all hope is gone. Once you know that you can't do anything, we've lost hope, things are not going to work out, then things start going downhill in a hurry. And that's what we are going to be talking about today on The Big Day. So before we get started, though, I've got to tell you, every one of you that are listening to me this morning, every single one of you, I'm really going to encourage you to go back for the last several weeks. Go on to our website, www.readyforthebigday.com, and listen to some of the shows that we put together. They are life-changing. Heather, you have had some great shows over the last couple of weeks that talk about different areas, psychology, what you can do to win. The real thing, as far as what I love more than anything, is how it affects you in the marketplace today, how you can take it Monday through Saturday, not just on Sunday. Man, that's been great.
Agreed. And actually, I've had great shows because I've had great guest speakers, you know, and we really wanted to talk about the same thing that The Big Day talks about, which is becoming a mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually successful leader. And all of those points are important. So it's been great to have some amazing guest speakers come and share some from all of those points. So, yeah.
So, yeah, and, you know, we talk about that, Nancy, and that's what the book is all about. I mean, really. And if you take this book, if you look on the title of this book, what you're going to go and look at is how to, it's called the how to. So tell me how to do it. Tell me how to raise the odds in my favor, Nancy. How to, and this is the title of the book on The Big Day, how to, now listen, how to, creating a guide, a culture to win physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And we don't call it winning, we call it successful leaders. Every one of you are meant to be a successful leader. But there's four areas, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning on the radio show. And so that's what your shows for the last several weeks have been talking about, Heather.
Exactly.
So I love that. And so what we're going to do is we're going to get in and talk a little bit about The Big Day, the book. And one of my favorite things or aspects about The Big Day, Nancy and Heather, is checklist. It's full of checklists.
Yes, that's definitely full of checklists.
I mean, it's kind of like checklists for everything. So what's the purpose of a checklist? It gives you clarity mm-hmm. from the very beginning. It gives you focus. It puts the odds in your favor to win. I mean, this is the reason for a checklist. And that's what I want to do is put the odds in my favor to win. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to go down a checklist. It's called a wisdom checklist. And it's written in the Big Day. I'd recommend you get it. And if you want to order the book, I think it's one of the best values out there. In my opinion, it's one of the best books, bar none, other than the Bible. But it talks you how to win, or it talks to you and teaches you how to win emotionally, spiritually, emotionally, physically, big time. It teaches you how to win. So the checklist, and we call this Wisdom's Checklist. Wisdom's Checklist. So what we're going to do is we're just going to go down this checklist. I can't guarantee you that we're going to be able to get down all of the checklist items. We're going to try. But so Whipple, Heather Lester, let's talk about checklists. Let's just start with number one, and I'm going to go down right down the list of them. And so here we go. Every day, throughout the day, practice, I love that word, practice walking in the wisdom of God and practice being led by the Spirit of God. So practice, we talked about the odds in your favor, practice begins to put the odds in your favor. So we want to practice walking in the wisdom of God. So how do you do that, Heather? How do you practice walking in the wisdom of God?
Well, first of all, I think there has to be some kind of a sensitivity to the wisdom of God. You know, we can begin to live our lives and just kind of go through the motions. But that's why checklists are great, because they kind of give you a launch pad or like a platform to go from when you're moving forward. And so when you're thinking about how to walk in the wisdom of God and be led by the Spirit of God just throughout the day, it can be really practical. And actually, that's one of the things that I did. I used to live overseas, and you know, where I lived, in Budapest, Hungary. So beautiful city. And we mostly went around through public transportation.
How long did you live in Budapest?
For a year, but at least this last time. I've actually lived there several times before, just several months each, but this last time was about a year. And so kind of got to know the system pretty well. And where I was living at the time, my apartment was in between these two particular tram stops. And so this it was interesting one day how this happened. But I usually get off of this one particular tram stop, and it's the same distance either tram stop to the apartment. So it was like neither here nor there where I get off. But anyway, so I'm going down one day, and I decided, I just kind of felt like I should not get off at the first one, but the second one that's closer to the apartment. Normally, I get off at the first one, but I was just like kind of feeling one day, I think I need to get off at the second one. So it was no big deal to me.
So you were just practicing doing life.
Yeah.
And here you go, and you're just kind of like going down one day, and you go, hey, I just kind of have this intuition or this inside speaking, no matter, and I'm not trying to over-spiritualize something, but something to do a little bit different than normal.
Mm-hmm.
So that's developing your faith. Again, we're practicing walking
being led by the Spirit of God.
Yeah, mm-hmm. By the wisdom of God, through the Spirit of God, and developing your faith muscles. So here you go.
I think it is wisdom to be led by the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes we think of, like, what does it mean to be led by or live by this or that? Like, I don't want to live by my emotions. I don't want to live by, you know, just my intellectual thinking, but I really want to live by the Spirit of God and be led by the Spirit of God. And what that means is that you're letting your decision-making ability rest on the Spirit of God.
So, you know, this is something that's interesting. And, man, I do want to get down this checklist, but I want to talk about this point. We talk about, you know, being led by the Spirit, and we talk about developing our faith. But I think the platform of that, and this is in the practical application, this is where the natural happens, is through the wisdom of God. Because a lot of the wisdom of God is so natural to our everyday life. Mm-hmm. And if you just read Proverbs a day, there's a lot of Proverbs. In fact, Nancy and I, we do that on a routine basis, is we'll just get up and read Proverbs together. And it's just kind of like so natural. It's not like the earth shakes, but I mean, it's just really, it's cool. Big time.
Yeah, I think it's great to, you know, read that. I mean, anytime, of course, but having like practical wisdom for everyday life is definitely.
So here we are, the story. I want to talk about the story. So anyway, okay. So go ahead and continue on what you were going
to
say.
So yeah, so I had this inner drawing to take this second tram stop and just get off there. And when I did, I happened to see this girl walking down the sidewalk, and she's holding hands with this guy, but she had this knee wrap around her knee, and she was kind of limping. So I thought, oh, man, wouldn't it be really cool if, like, I went up to her and prayed for her and she gets healed and, you know, we all just rejoice and have fun or something. And I was like, oh, that's a great thought. Anyways, I kept walking.
No, so you had to get out of your comfort zone, didn't you?
Well, at that point, it was just a fleeting thought, like an imagination. You know, it's just something I was kind of amused by thinking about. But I didn't really do anything about it until then something. I love what this comedian says one time is that... one of God's nicknames is something.
Yeah.
Something told me not to do that.
Yeah.
Anyways, something kind of brought to my attention as I'm imagining this happen. And I thought, wow, maybe that's how it worked with Jesus as well. You know, he said that I don't do anything that I don't see my Father doing. And it's like he began to see something, and that's how he knew what to step into. And I think that's what it also means to live by the wisdom and the Spirit of God. And so I kind of took that and I was like, oh my gosh, does that mean like I could really step into this, or is that, should I really do this? And so then that's when the
faith kicked in. But yeah. See, and a lot of times, Nancy, people just, we just talk about like, this is all like something really spiritual, but it's not. I mean, this was a natural thing. She was out just driving. It's like sometimes when we're out together, we were on our way down here this morning and we just talked about some really cool things. That was very natural, but I think it kind of started flipping into the spiritual. And that's one of the things I enjoy about you so much, Nancy, is that you have so much common sense, which I think is the wisdom of God.
Agreed.
I mean, she's like Mrs. Common Sense, and she's a nurse, too. A little bit precaution sometime.
A lot.
Yeah. I mean, she talks.
My son used to say, don't tell my mom. She's the most precautious.
So good. Nancy, we finally got a word edgewise out of Nancy. I'm kidding her a little bit because we tease each other a lot. She does not like me calling her Cool Whip. So that's a recipe. So anyway, I want to get back to your story. So Heather, I don't want to get away from the story. So anyway, you had this faith moment saying, you know what? I'm going to take a step. Mm-hmm. And that's what faith is all about, taking mm-hmm. one step. Oh my gosh, we got so much to cover. But can you just, so finish the story. I think this is such a good story.
Well, it's great because the Big Day talks about walking the wisdom of God, being led by the Spirit of God, and developing your faith. And that really was like all of those three things in this one moment. So I start thinking, okay, wow, like what if this could really happen? And then I have that moment of what if it doesn't happen? But then I thought, this could be a real moment. And so I said, okay, Holy Spirit, if that's you, you know, at this time, I've already walked about 10 steps ahead, but I was like, I'll turn around. Oh, well, whatever. I'll just say something, you know, but she better speak English because, you know, I'm still in a foreign country. And I'm like,
a little embarrassing.
How am I going to do this? Without, I mean, today I would say that I would have the faith to believe even if she didn't speak English. But at the time I was like, she better speak English. Anyway, so I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. So, because I really did sense that faith kicking in. It was almost like an excitement. Like, you know, your heart's beating like 100 miles an hour. But,
like a ball game.
Yeah, well, for you it would be a ball game.
Well, for most of us. Most humans like ball games. I mean, my heart kicks and go, yippee, skippy, here we go.
Yeah, but, so I was whipping.
And you prayed for it, didn't you?
Well, so this is what happened. So I turn around and I was like,
I knew that.
Excuse me. Do you speak English? And she says, yes. And Hungarians are amazing. Like, they are just so friendly anyways. I think that even if they don't speak English, they would be nice enough to try.
They're a lot like Texans.
Yeah, a lot like Texans. And so so I said, okay, good. And so I actually then asked her if she was a Christian, and she said no. And I was like, okay, this is going to be awesome then. And so I said, hey, I'm a Christian, and I believe that Jesus heals. And I've seen this a lot of times, and I pray for people, and then they get healed. Can I pray for you, for your knee? Is it in pain? And she says, yes, it's in pain. She kind of looks at me like, okay, you know,
yes.
Like,
I guess
sure.
So.
You know,
I don't
she
know kinda, who this weird
she looks
is,
up
but...
at her boyfriend and looks at me and is like, oh, why not, you know?
Yeah.
Which I appreciated. And so I'm just standing there. I don't even, you know, touch her or anything. I'm just standing there, and I say, Jesus, I asked her her name. And so I said, Jesus, please come and heal so-and-so right now. And she's just smiling and looking at me, you know, I mean, it's not normal for her. It's normal for me because I've done this right before. So then she just smiles and looks. And I said, like, check it. Is it okay? And she just kind of smiled and nodded. And I said, is it in pain? And she said, yes. And so I said, okay, let me pray again.
And wait a minute. I'm going to take that. I like this. Because here you go. It didn't work the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And typically, that's where most sales are lost. I mean, when you go and you knock on the door, mm-hmm. when you try something, it didn't work. And you get all discouraged and you go, whoa, woe is me. You get, you know, this sad face, this sad countenance, like, you know, if it must have been God's will, he wanted it to work. But what you did is you took another step of faith. Mm-hmm. And this is where it gets into the, this really gets interesting. Just one more step. And I'm here to tell you both. I'll tell everyone that's listening today. If you'll just start taking more than one step, and when you hit that door and it doesn't look like it's working, take another step. And that's what it's all about. I mean, in fact, one of the things on the checklist that I like right here is study and meditate on the Word of God. If Jesus gave up the first time when things didn't work out, you know, he would have had to go home. He'd have to go home. Because, and look at Paul. Paul's one of my mentors. You know, he went through literally hell and back to just to go out and preach the gospel. It'd been real easy for him to say, well, I mean, you know, what's the use? So I think this is really important. So the point is you took another step. Mm-hmm. And what happened there?
And I think it was that the faith that kicked in before, because I saw something, you know, that I believe is what prompted me to have the faith for it. You know, faith comes by hearing the Word of God, right? And I felt like I heard that on the inside of me anyway. So, yes. So it didn't work out. And I was like, well, let's just keep going. You know, like, I want to see this happen. I saw it happen in
Let's go.
You know? Yeah. So I said, okay, let me pray again. And so I said, Jesus, come and just touch her knee and just remove all the pain. And she looks at me and, you know, kind of smile and nod. And I said, is there pain? And she said, yes. And I said, okay, let's try this again. So I did it a third time. And again,
man,
I'm just
that
standing
is the,
there.
That is the mark of a champion. Because I'll tell you, if I look for hiring people at Southern Painting, and we've been painting homes, we painted over 100,000 homes. If we would have just given up the first time, the second time, we would not be the company we are today. Mm-hmm. If you just give up the first time and the second time, so I can't wait to hear what happened. So what happened?
Well, so I was like, okay, we're doing this again, you know, because I was like, I saw this, you know. And so she's totally more than willing. The guy is still standing there. I mean, they don't know what else to do, I guess. And so I said, Jesus, come, touch her knee and heal it. Again, it was just like 5-second sentence, but suddenly, she looks down at her knee, and she looks up at me really quick and says, Nem Hisemel, which means, I don't believe it. And she looks at me, she looks at her boyfriend, she looks at me, she looks at her knee, and she's like moving it around, and I say, no pain? And she's like, no pain. So it went all the way down to a zero. She actually had no pain. She was moving her knee around, like shaking it around and everything. She started walking. And so, you know, I talked to them a little bit afterwards, but I have no doubt that, you know, her life changed that day. And at least her day changed, if nothing else, you know, that she, something supernatural stepped in just because of a practical being led by the Spirit of God, the wisdom of God, developing our faith, like that, the supernatural touched the natural, you know, the spiritual touched the natural. And that's what I think makes any day the big day.
So here we go. So here's another checklist item. Thanks for sharing that, Heather. That was a powerful story. I love that. I love that. Go back and get them again. Be calm and peaceful in your day. You know, if you'll just learn to just not try to have to figure it all out. Mm-hmm. I mean, I used to be the type that I would get up in the morning and I'd have 37 ways to make it work before 8 or 9. And I learned I don't have to do that anymore. And so I could just be calm and peaceful. This is the best part of it. Calm and peaceful when you're in the midst of a storm.
Yeah, try that.
Yeah, and so that's what's really powerful. I love that part. Here's another one is practice developing your faith. We talked about the muscle, so we don't give up. If we have to try it again the second time or third time, and yeah, you're going to make some faith mistakes. You're going to make some mistakes out there. I'll just go ahead and tell you right now, you know, I've made more mistakes than just about anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe that. I mean, I tell you, I have made a ton of mistakes.
I don't know. I might give you a run for your money.
Yeah, well, you know what? And that's a good thing because we've all made those mistakes. But the thing that I love about Nancy is her patience, her calmness. She never gave up on me. She kept going and going and going and going. And it's just awesome. So I like that. Here's another one. And this is kind of a real practical thing, Heather. We're going to skip down a couple. And it says, have a great exercise regimen. So I asked Heather this morning coming down, I said, did you do your exercise today? And, of course, you know, of course, I did that. I asked her that because I did, and I wanted to brag on myself. But she said
that's what it was.
And she sat everything down on the street in the middle of Victory Center Plaza and started doing jumping jacks. I'm going, Heather,
yep,
stop
did them today.
So
did my exercise.
But, you know, you got to have a great exercise program. And I believe there's really four reasons that people are sick today. I'd say the majority of people is the words that come out of their mouth, what they put in their mouth, little or no exercise, and their expectancy. You got to change your expectancy. So those are things. Here's another list I like on the checklist is never move forward with a decision based on how good something looks. Let me say that. Never, ever, 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 ever move forward on a decision, no matter how good it looks. Don't just base your decision upon, okay, I'm going to get paid this much money. This person's the right person for me. She's gorgeous. She's, you know, all right, you get it. And so be careful and not, because I can go back and tell you so many stories that looked, I thought, this is of God. God is speaking to me. He wants me to take this decision. And 2 years later, I'm on my knees saying, God, if you'll get me out of this investment, I never, ever, 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 ever will. I could sit and tell you so many stories. So be careful with that.
And what would you base a decision on if it's not just how good something looks?
Well, you start just slowing down. We talked about,
never
I think
rush
the number one, the number one mistake people make. I'm saying this is so good. This is worth the price of admission. This is worth the price of the book is never, ever, ever rush past the beginning. So you slow things down a little bit. But yes, if I don't make that, my mom used to say, I said, well, if we don't buy that house, then somebody else may get it. And she always goes,
there's always another house.
There's always another house.
There's always another house. There's always another car.
Yeah. That's true. So anyway, it just kind of, it's so cool to live that way. Here's another one I like. And this is really, really good is don't focus on things that you have no control over.
Yeah.
Especially people. I mean, if you say to me, Mr. Whipple, what is the number one thing that you have to work with in business? I'm going to say of this, that's like the human obstacle course is working with people because they stretch you emotionally. They stretch you every which way. And so don't get focused in on that. Don't get focused in on all their bad stuff. I think that's really powerful. And I think to me, if I could say, one of the successes I've had is I don't let people jack me up anymore. I don't let the situations take me downtown. So I like that. Here's another one. Follow effective time management principles with a plan for all 8 areas of your life. See, there's 4 types of plans. There's an appointment, a to-do list, a checklist, and goals. And so I think that's really important. Another one, have a great system and written goals for all 8 areas of your life. So what's the purpose of goals? Goals bridge the gap between the natural and the spiritual.
What do you mean by that?
That is so good. So let's say you have this natural here, and you want to lose a few pounds, or you want to make X number of dollars, or you want a new car, or you want a good relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Then write that goal down. And the Bible says write it down, make it plain. So you write that thing down. We have a good friend, Nancy, that did that to a house.
They needed a house, or they wanted a house. They were leasing a house. So we said, well, write down what you want in a new house.
Mm-hmm.
Write it down and make your vision plain. So they wrote it all down, and lo and behold, what was it, a month, couple months later?
And by the way, everything, I got to tell you, everything they had on their list.
Everything.
Everything. So if you, chicks, if you want a good guy, be sure they're rich. Powerful. No, I'm just kidding. Good looking, sharp. But you get it. But I mean, I'm not talking about throwing out the baby with the bathwater. I'm just saying this starts bridging the gap. And what you're doing is you're getting your faith that one step at a time. When you start writing it down and then you start rehearsing it.
I think it's a practical way to build your faith.
Yeah, it's a very, like working out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you haven't been working out and you go out and you put a demand on your body, you find out, your body's having a little bit of a problem here. But at the same time, I like that. I think that's really good. And so that's another one I really like. I want to talk about the next one here, and that is see yourself as a wise person. and I'm just skipping down a couple, Heather, see yourself as a wise person. How you see yourself has everything to do with who you are. No matter where you go, there you are.
There you are.
Yeah, no matter where you go, there you are. So you have to see yourself becoming that person. Now, let me tell you, we talked about, we opened up the show that Satan has three goals for your life, kill, steal, and destroy. He gets to see yourself. You get to, once you see yourself as an average, lower, I can't find relationships, this is never going to work out, I've made too many mistakes. That's why I love your story about not only did it not happen once, not only did it not happen twice, you came back a third time. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there are people out there right now that are listening to me in the sound of my voice that need to say to themselves, you know what? I tried it once, I tried it a second time, I tried it a third time, fourth time, I'm going to try it again.
And I think the important point to remember with that is, you know, I had something to hold on to. It wasn't just like, oh, I'm just going to try it again. Sometimes we have to do that too.
Yeah.
But my faith was built because I heard something that was bigger than me.
And so let's say it wouldn't have worked out. It still would have worked out.
It still would have worked out because in the end, it doesn't even take as much faith to love. And really, that's what it's about. Because in the end,
oh, that's powerful.
Just to love somebody where they're at, try and help them out. I mean, I know that God is willing, but at the same time, if nothing else, he wants to love that person and say, hey, I see you. I see the pain that you're going through. I see what you're experiencing right now. Let me at least just acknowledge that and say, is there anything I can do, and pray for them. But, you know, I really sense that's what changed the game, is what I felt God imparted to me in a way. Like, God spoke through that imaginary, hypothetical situation. Wouldn't it be cool if I went up and talked to her and prayed for her and she got healed and it was awesome? It's like that's why you have to be sensitive. That's why I opened with that, because you have to be sensitive to hear what God is saying or what he's doing so that he can lead you in those practical moments of walking in his wisdom and saying, hey, it's wisdom to stick with this word that you felt like you got and until it comes to pass.
The best thing about that story for me, Heather, is you got back up three times. The other thing is your sanctuary was the Monday through Friday or the Monday through Saturday.
Yeah.
It's not just in church. See, and this is, people get all freaked out. I mean, if I'm flying and I don't want someone to sit beside me, I put a Bible down, you know, because people get freaked out when you start talking about religion. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about a relationship, and we're talking about a real relationship, and it has to be developed. I mean, that's why the next part of this, and I just love this, is your alignments. Mm-hmm. I'm not ashamed to tell you, I love good alignments. I don't want to hang around junky people. That's why my greatest alignment is God. I'm not ashamed of that. Through his son, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Through a personal relationship. That is a great alignment to have. And why, and I say this, respectfully to people, why do you want to do life on your own? I mean, really. I mean, just think about that. If I said to you, okay, you're going to marry someone, just like they had this great big wedding across this ocean a few days ago, and this lady was not part of the royal family, and when she hooked up to the royal family, guess what? She became royalty.
Yeah.
Automatically. That's what you become, is royalty automatically.
That's
boom.
What happened when you married Mrs. Whipple, right?
No, vice versa. Come on now, ladies. Don't gang up on me. I deserve it. I will say I deserve it. But I like your alignments.
Yes. You know.
So here's another one. Here's another checklist. When you face a problem, you don't focus on the problem. The first thing I do is I change my vocabulary. Mm-hmm. I call it an opportunity.
An opportunity for what?
For it to like to get better. An opportunity that this is going to be my greatest hour. And the Bible says that he causes all things to work together. Now, you got to go on with that verse and those that love him. So I love him. It's not by my might. It's not by my strength. And so he causes that thing and starts turning it.
You're good.
And the best thing I like about that, I'm, again, you know that I love sports, but he levels the playing field for you. He levels it so that way you don't have to be the king daddy rabbit of it all. You don't have to say, I've done it my way. I'll say, hey, you know what? I don't have to do it my way. So I love alignments. You align yourself with good things are going to happen.
Yes, and talk about opportunities. They don't always have to be positive or negative. So we had somebody that we know. he had melanoma. I said, guess what? You just got a new job.
That's good.
It's an opportunity. You have to learn all about it from hello to goodbye to conquer this.
And the funny thing about that, Whipple and Heather, is he attacked that from both the natural and the spiritual. He got the best doctors, best docs, doctors, nurses, support staff, which Nancy's a nurse, the best of the best, your photographer. And by the way, I want to do something I've not done before. I want to do this. It's my radio show. So,
So
how would people contact you if they wanted some help in photography, or is that something that you could help them do? So could they do you have a website?
I do. My website is heatherjean.com. I actually do architectural photography. So that's residential, commercial, interior, exterior, property photography, basically.
So what's your website again?
Heatherjean.com. So that's H-A-T-H-E-R-J-E-A-N.
One more time. She talks so fast.
I know.
Slow it down.
Slowing it down.
Okay, Heather, there you go. Jean, one more time.
Heatherjean.com. And that's J-E-A-N-E.
And so they could contact you, and what could you help them with? Just take about 30 seconds and tell people what you need.
So if you're, for example, a realtor, you're selling houses, or you're flipping houses, or if you're in construction remodeling, maybe it would be for your portfolio,
leasing houses.
Also, if you're an interior designer and you want something for your portfolio, for your own website, or an architect, anything like that. So just interior, exterior, property photography. I like the things that don't move. So
I like that. So thank you, Heather, for letting me share that, just taking the liberty to do that. So I like just be kind to all people. And that's a tough one.
Like you just did.
This is the real, because you're easy to be kind to. Nancy is easy to be kind to. You know, I mean, Dale Wall is easy to be kind to because they're just kind people. Here comes the real test. What if someone's not kind to you? What if someone's not lovely? What if someone is a big, you know, blank, blank, blank? That's when I flip it on them. And you go, well, you can't do that because they'll just take advantage of you. No, they won't. Actually, when I flip it and I start being the kinder I am to someone, and I had a very wise person one time say to me, and it's a cliche, but kill them with kindness. Mm-hmm. So you just start, but I call it killing them with the gospel, because the Bible says you can't outdo love. Love is the ultimate weapon in your behalf. So you just start loving people regardless of that.
Yeah, I think that, you know, kindness is really has a lot to do with honor. And so honoring another person, you know, it never really backfires, at least for you. They may not receive it the way that you intended, but it doesn't hold you back if you're kind to somebody who's not. But they could just be having a bad day or a bad life or something.
And it frees you up too, Nancy. Mm-hmm.
And that's really like the best. I mean, it's wisdom to walk in kindness because it really frees you to walk in the highest potential you can.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
No, I was at a very busy restaurant in Frisco, Texas last Saturday. We were there for a birthday party for some young ladies. And so there's an empty seat next to me. So we're waiting to be seated in an empty seat. And talk about somebody that didn't speak English. So a lady came in. She had her sari on. Mm-hmm. And she didn't look like she spoke English, but I gave her a big smile. And so then she felt comfortable enough to come and sit by me. And so the whole time I'm smiling at her and she's smiling at me.
Aww, that's
and then her husband comes over and he's talking to her in her native language. So
I always like
awesome.
To smile at people because it makes them think he's up to something.
Yeah. Well, so, and you know, it was fun, you know, and then they came and got us.
Okay. One more time. Ta-da! Isn't that good? So I'm smiling at the program director. He's over here asleep on the floor.
No,
and,
not.
You know, I had to go over and wake him up at least twice, kick him a couple of times.
Oh, my God.
You know, but
he's
it's
enjoying
fun.
It as much as we are.
It's fun to laugh, isn't it? Especially
yes.
at yourself. That's another
That's
thing.
That's fun.
You know, this is not on the checklist, but if I had to say one thing I'd like to add to my checklist, I'm always adding to my checklist, is learn to laugh at yourself. Because that's like therapy. That's like life-changing when you can say to yourself, you know, self, I don't have to take myself that serious. Because sometimes I go through the house and Miss Whipple will say to me, Mr. Whipple, smile.
Smile.
You know, I'm like, well, you don't understand. I'm like Gary
smile.
Patterson. I'm like really focused. She goes, smile. You're not Gary Patterson. So, you know, so I love that. Here's another one that I like is never base your decisions on following what's popular, the crowd. Because the Bible says, don't be conformed to this world. So I'll just give you like one. Heather loves examples. I mean, she's just like, I'll just give you an example. Give me an example. Okay. Like the biggest example is following the crowd to, you know, like tailgating. And I love to tailgate. But you know what happens at tailgates? There's a lot of consumption of, you know what? So I don't just follow the crowd that way. And you may say, well, that just, you know.
You don't just do what they do.
Just no, I just, that's you know. You do, now, I have done it. Yeah. But you never, you don't remember the game. So, you know.
That's
but,
not wisdom at all.
No, that's.
No wisdom.
No, it's dumb
that.
Is what it is. So here's another one is to challenge your team. So let's talk about that for a moment. And I'm just kind of skipping down here. Let's talk about challenging your team.
Who's
and
your team? For
yeah,
sure.
Your
so, like,
team could be who?
Yeah, this is like everyone goes, well, I mean, like, who is your team? I mean, like, what is a team? What does all that consist of? I'm going to tell you, on your team is I believe God is on your team. He wants to be on your team, you on his team. He chose you before you chose him. So he wants you to be on the team. Another great team member is your spouse or your friends or your coworkers. And so Nancy will always go through and say, okay, I'm going to pray for our grandkids. I said, nope, team. They're on the team,
yes, family.
You know, and yeah. So you start getting this team mentality of like, and this is what I love about the book. And you were going through the book. This is what I love about the book because it has a team concept. Mm-hmm. It's not about just one person. It's about developing a culture of great team members.
Yeah.
And some of your team members can be turkeys. I know that. I get that. I mean, we have some really qualified turkeys on our team and they're relatives. Okay. I call them qualified because they do gobble. But however, the point being is start developing a good team around you. So yeah,
I would say that your team is, are people that you invest into and who invest into you. And then, you know, it's a lot easier to win big in the game of life when you have that team around you. You know?
Yeah. And so, and we talk about winning big all the time. Here's another one that I like is learn to be grateful.
Absolutely.
I mean, just kind of like, I mean, just like we're sitting here in the studio this morning, and I am just so grateful for this nice studio. I'm so grateful for having, I mean, just so many great team members around me, our engineer. I'm just so grateful for that.
I think that being grateful is something that sometimes we take for granted or we just kind of think is kind of cheesy.
Yeah, it sounds cheesy, doesn't
and
it?
It sounds a little bit cliche, but actually being grateful is a life transformer from the inside out. When you're intentional and sincere about what you're grateful for, it will literally change the way that you think and what you think about. It's almost like taking preventative measures for your health and for your even your finances and your family and friends, all of that, because what you're setting yourself up for is to win when it comes to the storm. You know, if you're already, you know, Saturday through Friday or whatever, learning how to be grateful or just have an attitude of being grateful, then when that storm hits mm-hmm. in between Friday and Saturday, you'll be fine because you've already trained your mind how to think.
See, our mind, this is the thing, is we've been trained by the world that our mind focuses in on what's not working.
I call it a spirit of thankfulness.
That's good.
Spirit of thankfulness. So anyway, when things are not working, Whip, even with you and we start to get a little bit on the opposite side of each other and we start to have maybe an argument, I have to just slow down and go, you know what? I got so many things to be thankful for. Mm-hmm. And so it shifts my attention, Heather, from that thing that's going on that's not working out, that person that insulted me or that person that wasn't, you know, whatever, maybe, or that thing's not working out, that business thing's not working out. And then it causes me to start shifting my focus, and then I start being thankful. And it's hard to be grumpy when you're thankful. You just can't do that. I mean, you can't hand grumpy and thankfulness in the same cup. So that thankfulness says, okay, and I want to say that probably the thing that I would say the key to my success is I'm thankful for my team members. I mean, like over the top big. And I got to have the opportunity to go into prison this last weekend. I do that with Bill Glass and get to share the, you know, good news. And I'm sitting in there, and one of the prisoners said, let me tell you what I'm thankful for. And these are inmates. These are incarcerated. He says, I'm able to look out across the hills, and they have windows in jail. Typically, most prisons don't have windows. He said, I could look out. It gives me a ray of hope. Mm-hmm. It gives me a light. And so I like that ray of hope. Thankfulness gives you that ray of light.
Yeah.
It starts coming in, and it may be just one little light. It may just be one little blade of grass. It may just be this one little thing that's not that big a deal. But just learn to start being thankful for that little thing, and it starts training who you are. So I love that a lot.
A little bit adds up.
Big time. Here's another one. And have a great work ethic. Have a great work ethic. So, Heather, when I first talked about work ethic, and I mean, this is like, when people think work ethic, they think, you know, they're like at the salt mines at their work, and they're like slaving away, or they're like, you know, salespeople making all these hundreds of calls a week. And really, that's not what work ethic is all about. I mean, that's what it sounds like. That's what we've been trained to believe. But work ethic is first taking the initiative. You got to take the initiative. And that's the checklist. That's the wisdom checklist before that. But you take the initiative to start having a work ethic, not in one area of your life, but all eight areas of your life.
Would you say that a work ethic is really just a plan or a strategy?
Well, it could be, but it also goes like, you put your heart and soul and mind in it. Like Nancy and I are going to have an 07A. That's why I'm in shorts and sandals today. I'm training my mind.
07A,
which means I'm going to start working on the other seven areas of my life for the next several days. And I like that. It's, you know, she knows what she's saying, but she's so good. But, Heather trains me a lot. I mean, it's kind of like she's like herding cattle. She knows exactly where she's training me. But anyway, the point being is it starts to get you into a pattern of saying, you know, I'm going to work at resting. Now, I'm just going to give you a couple examples here because this is important. This is important for anyone that's listening. We are too busy. Big time too busy. We have our phones. We have our iPads. We have our watches. We have the television.
Are you making fun of my watch?
Oh, yeah, all the time. You cannot pay me to wear an iPhone watch. I'm not being derogatory. But I like technology. I love technology. I'm Mr. Technology myself. I mean, I've got 18 devices hooked up going at all times, just like right now. Engineer's over there. He's like going down this story. He's reading the story. Da, 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 da. We want to stay busy. I got to stay busy. So here's the point. Learn to go to work on being quiet. Now, when you try that for the first time, it's like you go into the shakes. You know, like you try to get off drugs or something. You have a caffeine fix for your phone. You know, I got to have that electronic fix. But learn to be quiet. And this is what happens when you do this. This is very powerful. This is good for everyone that's listening to the sound of my voice. You need to practice this at least 3 or 4 times a week. Is once you do that, you begin to get quiet. And as you begin to get quiet, you begin to hear the Spirit of God start speaking to you on the inside.
Yeah.
And he'll start little small things. I mean, I'm not talking about, thus saith the Lord thy God, go to India. No, I'm saying he'll just start speaking to you like, and one of the things he speaks to me is, well done, Mr. Whipple. Mm-hmm. Or he'll speak to me and say, man, I just want you to know I love you today. Yeah. Or he'll speak to me and say, you know, I really appreciate you just kind of setting everything down a while. Because that goes against my nature. Ms. Whipple will tell you that.
Yeah.
I mean, my full-time schedule is like 80, 85, 90 hours a week. Because I'm always a rocking and a rolling, a going and trying to be Mr. B. And that's a caffeine within itself. But here's the work ethic part. The work ethic is making yourself, it's a positive thing, do things that you don't want to do to become better.
Yeah.
So that's a work ethic. That's where it starts. It takes a plan, but you start with a plan. I like what you said. You got to have a plan. So I think that's really, really, really good about that. Here's another part of your eight areas of your life I want to talk about. This is another one of my favorite, and that's your PLA. And that's what are you training yourself with? That's what you're training yourself with kind of like what you're listening to, what you're watching, what you're reading, what you're putting yourself into is what you're training yourself on.
And a PLA is a powerful learning agenda.
So explain that. Talk to me a minute
about
that.
It's actually one of the eight areas of your life. In other words, it's the area of your thinking. And the way that we go to work on our thinking is by retraining it. And that's what the powerful learning agenda is for. You know, we have agendas for all kinds of things, but how often do we have an agenda on how to think better thoughts or how to retrain our belief systems so that we actually achieve the goals that we're wanting? If we want to achieve something that we don't have, more often than not, it requires some kind of change in us. And it requires, and depending on how big it is, like there's some paradigms that could really have to shift and change. Like even you're talking about rest, that's a paradigm shift for some people because they think that if they rest, quote unquote, then they're not productive. But actually, you need that. You need to rest. You need to kind of wind down. You need to give time to remove distraction and allow yourself to begin to have the sensitivity to be led by the Spirit of God or hear Him. And I think that could be a part of your PLA. So, yeah, the PLA is your powerful learning agenda. It's one of the eight areas of your life.
Yeah, one of the greatest PLAs, Co-Whip, is that what the Bible says. And it talks a lot about PLA. In fact, there are over 7,000 promises in the Bible that guarantee your success. And
how many of those are we believing?
I mean, like, that's the greatest PLA of all, because when you know you can't lose, I mean, that puts a new dimension to your thinking. But you have to, and this is where the Bible talks about, this is, get ready, this is what you have to do, this is what you have to be proactive with, is you have to go into the Word and transform your thinking. The Bible says, you know, don't be conformed to the ways of this world. Well, that sounds so religious. No, it sounds accurate. I don't want to talk about being positive. I'm not talking about trying to be positive or negative. When you're conformed to the ways of this world, that's what you're training yourself with. You're like Shamu. We went to SeaWorld one time, Nancy and I. We took our grandson to SeaWorld, and they took this big fish. They had this fish called a whale called Shamu, and this whale would jump up and kiss somebody in front of everybody.
I think the trainer kissed the whale.
Anyway, regardless of that, I'm thinking if they can train that fish to jump up on that stand, that slick object, I can train myself to start doing things differently.
Surely there is hope, right?
Yeah. And so,
I don't know. It does sound a little fishy to me. But.
Yeah. Well, love fish.
This
love
is
salmon.
A big fish story, right? Well.
Yeah, it's a big fish story. Like, okay. Here's another one that I like is your wealth plan. And this is one of eight areas. This is what you train yourself with. Everybody likes to talk about money. I've never met anyone who goes, I don't want to talk about money. Now, some people will come across like, oh, well, Brother Robert, you know, money is not something I have to have. And so Nancy always says,
if it's not important, you just don't know where to shop.
Yeah. So Nancy has the MVP. You know, she's the most valuable purchaser at the mall. She carries two credit cards in her holsters, and she's always got them firing them. Boom, 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 boom. When I'm out of town, I'm not kidding you. When I travel and I'm out of town, I'm like,
come home, there's something new.
God, please.
Could it be big or little?
Yeah. So anyway, but it's something you have to work at. So back to the point. Is you have to go to work on your wealth plan. So you start retraining your thinking. And there's so many good books out there. The Millionaire Next Door is a great book. The Big Day. The Big Day talks a lot about wealth and how to build your wealth. Well, it's not just talking about money. Yes, we're talking about money right now. So I love that. Absolutely love that. So this is really good stuff. Whip?
Well, I kind of wanted to go back to this work ethic because I was trying to remember, it was either a training day or a personal day of training with one of our teammates. And then they took it to heart and they changed what they were doing and it showed in their production. And so the next thing we know is we're getting this great production report. And so Robert says to this person, what happened? You know, why are you so much better? He said, I took what you told me to heart, and I just implemented all the the systems that you gave me.
He changed his thinking and he took it to heart. He got serious about it.
Yeah, he got serious.
And you know what happened? His world got better. And I love that. So this is what we're talking about.
It's just as much effort to do it wrong as it is to do it right. So you might as well go ahead and just try to do it right.
Okay, so folks, before we get ready to close out, and we got a couple topics we're going to talk about here. I want to kind of switch gears for just a moment. But I want to tell you, you need to get the book, The Big Day. It became a bestseller. The Big Day is the ultimate preparation for tomorrow. We're not just playing, we're just not saying this for a play on words. We're saying it's a life changer. It's a game changer. And it's a book that you can take and study and read. And even if you don't believe in God, it's still there for you. It's written for atheists. It's written for Hindus. It's written for Hindus. Whoever you are, Baptist, Methodist, Church of Christ, white, green, yellow, blue, A through Z, the whole group. It's written for you. And that's what I love about The Big Day. So, you know, you need to get that. And what you do is just simply, you can go on our website, www.readyforthebigday.com. You can order it through that electronic version. Go to Amazon. You go to Amazon and pull up Robert Whipple, The Big Day. And so I just want to encourage you to do that. I think it would be really a good investment. I'm not just trying to sell a book, but I do want to talk about that. So we have just a few minutes left. I just want to kind of stop the train here for a moment. And I just want to talk a minute about a couple of things. And first off, I want to hand the mic to really Heather for a couple of minutes and just share anything that, you know, from A to Z, you know, that's kind of like spontaneous a little bit. What would be on your heart that you'd want to share with people today, this morning?
Thank you. You know, we're sitting here talking about The Big Day, and I know I mentioned it a little bit before, but the way that you make the most of The Big Day is to combine the natural and the spiritual. You really don't want to live a two-dimensional life and only live in the natural and just according to the things that you see. But I believe that, and I would encourage everyone here right now, how do you bridge the gap between the natural and the spiritual is start with a believing heart. Start there and invite God to be a part of your everyday life. Invite him to be involved. Ask him where he's up to, what his thoughts are about your day. That's really the wisdom of God, and being led by him is just that believing heart, the sincerity, being sensitive to that.
You know how much
it
God
literally
loves
will
you.
Change. Yeah.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
It could be something so practical and so simple, and maybe something cliche, but it could be something that we've never heard of before and what he might say to you or what he might speak to you. But I guarantee you that if you hear what he's saying to you, then your life will change. Your day will change.
Yeah, so. I like that. And I just want to add one other moment to that. One other thing to that is that scripture, for God so loved the world, that's you. That's you and I. He loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. So we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have the opportunity to say, hey, we're a sinner. Forgive me. And God takes you just as you are. I love that. So Whipple, as we get ready to close out this morning, anything else you'd like to just add or anything you'd want to say other than this morning, I said, Nancy, you are so blessed to be married to me. That's funny, isn't it? And she'll just laugh like that. I just love to listen to her laugh. But anything you want to share this morning that's on your heart this morning?
Mostly I would just say to people to go out. I love the golden rule. My dad wasn't somebody that went to church, but he just kind of pounded the golden rule into our head. And just go out and treat people like you want to be treated. I mean, share a smile with somebody.
I love that.
And open the door for them. Like I was at Central Market, and this lady's unloading her groceries, and she has the cart is empty. I said, could I take the cart for you?
That's great.
And she says, oh, you came along at the right time. And she just looked hot and tired. And so I said, oh, yeah, so let me take it. So just something kind.
So we got some news we want to talk about this morning, and there's some news that maybe that's going to be kind of sad one way. It is sad to me, and we talked about that this morning, even cried a little bit. But this is the part that I want to talk with you about. And for the time being, the Big Day Radio Show is we're going to be taking a sabbatical. We don't know for how long, and it may be for a week, a month, a year. We don't know how long. But this will be our last Saturday morning, The Big Day show for a first season on KLIF. And that's something that we wanted to announce to everyone. But at the same time, I truly believe that our best is yet to come. And I want to say thank you to the following people for what we've done these last 6 months. I definitely want to say thank you, Henry and Trish Moore, and to the KLIA programming team. They've been absolutely wonderful. And we are so blessed to be a part of this team. And Del Wall and Dan, our engineer, that's been with us every Saturday morning. That's wonderful. Also to Daniel DePinto and Kendall. And all our special guests, we can sit here and sit and name all the special guests. It's so funny as Heather goes, Yvonne, Yvonne. And I'm sitting here going, no, I'm not forgetting Miss Avila, Yvonne and Paul Avila. And then obviously Mrs. Blue. And then, you know, to my second best friend, Cool Whip. And guys, obviously thank you, God, for everything. But I just want to say thank you so much for everything and how much we appreciate what everyone has done for this radio show. And so I just want to say thank you, Heather.
Thank you. It's definitely been a pleasure to work with you guys and definitely been a pleasure to work with KLIF. Ty, thank you as well for being here programming with us. Be sure to check us out as well on the website. We'll have podcasts, blogs, subscribe to our blog, our newsletter. We'll keep you updated and let you know if we have anything new coming up.
And I promise you, though, we will see you very soon.
Yes.
I give you my word of honor. We're going to be around. Go to the website. And thank you again for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to go into your homes. We thank you, listeners. And this is going to be our greatest day yet. Thank you so much and have a good one.
The preceding program was furnished by The Big Day, who is responsible for its content.
KLIF Dallas, KSCS FM HD2 Fort Worth,
KLIF.com,
a Cumulus station.